But let me pray. We'll be in Hebrews 7. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your holy word, the perfection of it. God, it your word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I pray that we could all get closer to you today, that we can have more faith in you today after going through your word. And that we would not doubt, we would not rely on our own understanding. We would just trust in you and what you say, God. So help us to give you all of our fears, all of our burdens, and give them to you. We know that you love us, that you see us, and you have a plan for our life. So please be with us today. Speak to us individually and only the way you can through your word and through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God. We thank you for getting us here safely today, and please help us to get closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so just a review. This book of Hebrews is a message written to the Jewish church of Christ. It's the Jewish Messiah. So he came for the Jew first and then the Gentile, okay? And this was written as a letter to help the Jews in the church, the early believers, that they started questioning, okay? And I even shared with a brother this morning. He said, you know, I have questions, you know, and you know, he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, that's good, you know. And it's been a while, but the way that myself and my wife and Wendy and Jose, the early church members, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of you too, is that Drew's always been available to answer questions. And what's great about having questions is it means that you're curious and you want knowledge and you want answers, right? And as a Christian, we don't have to hide our head under the sand and, you know, and not be confident that there are answers. So if you have questions, that's good. Right. And the hope is that you search for those questions. Right. Maybe there's certain doubts. You know, maybe there's a scripture that you're like, I don't understand. Why would it say this? Or, you know, why would God do this? Right. And maybe those things keep you back from really fully surrendering. Right. And that was like a real thing for me in my life, was I always felt like I held back some. It was like I was scared to fully commit because it's vulnerable. And it's scary because you grow up your own way and you develop certain types of defenses, right? And we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to be vulnerable, because if we open ourselves up for being vulnerable, we also open ourselves up for being hurt. And maybe there's people in our lives or ideas or thoughts or whatever that maybe did take advantage of that and they did hurt us. And then maybe now we put up a little wall and we want to hold back, okay? So that's kind of the context of what the church was dealing with at this time, was because they had questions and they were holding back, right? And they wanted to go back to their safety net. And the safety net for them was their religion, right? So the author of Hebrews has just been breaking down the Jewish religion and trying to put in context of like why they believed what they believed, what was the purposes of all these structures that they had within their religion. And today we're going to look at what was the point of the high priest, okay? What was the point of like the Levitical priesthood and all that stuff? And we're going to get into that, okay? So he's encouraging them, don't go back to traditions. Don't go back to Jewish traditions, right? We've had, you know, which is kind of like interesting. Like imagine, you know, I became a Christian and then all of a sudden, you know, I want to go back to like, you know, eating kosher and, you know, going to synagogue every Saturday or Friday night, or, you know, like, but like doing it in order to achieve righteousness. Or imagine you became, you know, Christian, and you wanted to go back to, you know, certain Catholic, if you grew up Catholic, certain Catholic rituals. It's like you're freed from those things. They're not in the Bible, and those things might keep you from getting closer to God. So it's like we have to just be on guard. And that was what was happening to them. So the writer of Hebrews is establishing Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than Moses. Moses is one of the things they wanted to go back to, greater than the Levitical priesthood. Okay, we're going to get into that one. And even as Christians, we're freed from traditions, okay? By the Bible, Jesus and his word, it supersedes all of our traditions. Even what our, you know, even if our parents say something, if it goes against the word of God, you know, God's word is above that. And, you know, that's why the Bible talks about, you know, there's going to be certain divisions. Jesus was very divisive. Excuse me, I'm just getting over something, so don't give me a handshake. So, you know, he's going to, you know, put people at odds. There's going to be divisions. So last week, we looked at spiritual growth, sanctification. We looked at Melchizedek. Here it comes. This is like every time. Okay. So, just like we're not justified by the law, we are not justified by priestly order of the Levites. All right, so we need a priestly order to sacrifice, okay? And that has no beginning or end, and we have that in Jesus. Oh, man. I'm not crying. Okay. So, when we had a priestly order, right, in the Old Testament, it was basically a covering of sins. So imagine your dog, right, or animal, you know, made a mess on the floor, and you just took some newspaper and you put it over it, okay? It doesn't eliminate that mess, okay? And now you walk over that mess and you're walking on the, you know, you're walking on the newspaper, and then now they make another mess, and you just put another layer of newspaper, okay? That's kind of what Old Testament sacrifices did. Oh, sure. All right, that's kind of what Old Testament sacrifices did. It was just a covering, okay? But it never eliminated the mess, okay? So I hope you know the mess is represented by our sins, okay? So our sins were that mess. So what do I do? That's what brought me to Christ, right? I had done things in my life, and I was like, what do I do with this? Like, I feel really guilty. And going to church, well, back then, going to synagogue, I thought was going to make me feel better because I did my, you know, religious duty. I thought I was going to make God happy by just going. But it didn't do anything with my guilt because my sin was still there. So when I heard the message that Jesus saw my guilt and saw what I did, and he forgave me for it, he loved me, and then he not only would forgive me of that, clean it all up, but the beautiful part about God is that he also forgets it. So then all that guilt that I had and that was just burdening me and caused a whole bunch of other issues, and just, and even the reason that I even did those things, just the depravity of my heart, God was able to change all of it, and that's only through Jesus. It couldn't be done through just religious practices. So it's really deep. Okay, so let's take a look at Genesis 14. Okay, because this guy Melchizedek. You guys like that, like those types of movies where there's like the crazy plot twist? Like, do you guys like those type of movies where, so I remember, I don't know the details of the movie, so I don't want to say to go watch this movie because I don't really remember the details like too much, so I don't want to say, hey, you got to watch this movie, but there was this movie, right, and it was about some magician or something, and you think it's going one way, right, like you think it's going this way, but then at the end, it's like they switch it up, and then that guy that was at the beginning was like actually the guy's dad, and then they were, you know, it was like something, whoa, like it was just like a crazy plot twist, I guess. I guess, you know, most of us could relate to Star Wars, right? It's like, I'm your father. What? Oh, no. What? That's crazy, right? But like, but how, right? So there's like these random mentions of this guy, Melchizedek, okay? It's like so random. Just two basic times where they mention him. But he's a big deal in what God was trying to do, okay? So let's look at it. Genesis 14. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So remember, back then, there wasn't an organized, like, land of Israel. It was kind of, now this is early. Remember, this is Abram, which I'll show you a timeline, is like super early. I mean, none of the like order that God had was made yet, because Abraham was the first one that it kind of came out of. This is after Noah. So remember, Noah, the flood came, God wiped everything out, and then through his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, kind of restarted the whole earth, right? There's a cool visual online where it shows like each people and like which son they came from. It's kind of cool, but I don't have it here today. But anyway, so this is the new start, okay? And God is trying to establish stuff, and he's going to establish his relationship with people through Abram. Okay, so this is early. Okay, so Abram has like just kind of running his like city in a way, and it's like a whole bunch of cities. All right, so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him. Okay, now we're going to get introduced to another king. Then Melchizedek, and the word Melchizedek, it means king of righteousness. Okay, so think about king of righteousness, king of Salem. This is old Jerusalem, okay? This is old, and Salem means peace. So king of peace, king of righteousness, king of peace. That's who Melchizedek is. Brought out bread and wine. Does bread and wine kind of raise, like, you know, some like, hey, bread and wine, where did I hear bread and wine before? Oh, it's in the Last Supper. Take this bread, right, which is my body. Take this wine, which is, you know, poured out. So what's so cool about the Bible is that in the Old Testament, you get these, like, types and shadows. It's kind of like, you know, like, a little foreshadowing, right, of what you're going to see in the future fulfilled, but you only see a little bits of it, and then you see the fulfillment through Jesus, right? So if you know, it's kind of messed up. If you don't get this teaching, like, as a Christian, it's like you kind of miss, like, the full picture. I mean, this stuff is, like, cool. Then this is what I was saying, it was by faith. Like, the more you read the Bible, you're like, this is not a coincidence. This is not just, like, I was just talking with a coworker. He's really funny. I hope he comes one day. And he's just like, yo, Mr. He's like, he's young. He just graduated. Yo, Mr. Green. He's like, yo, this stuff for real, man. I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, yo. I'm like, why? I'm like, who would make up a religion? And like, you would make up a religion where you had to, like, deny yourself, and you would die for it. Like, all the early disciples died except for John, right? It's like, why would you make something up like that, right? Unless it's real, okay? And one of the ways we can know it's real is that, like, scriptures like this, where it's like, okay, we're seeing these types and shadows. Bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. Now, priests, if we understand, I'm going to fast forward a little bit, just so you can see on the screen. So, Now, the call of Abram or Abraham is in 2091. So this is like a little before that, okay? Now, remember, this is BC, so the numbers will go down as we move forward, right? And then at BC, then they start to go up, right? So the Levitical order or the priesthood of God, it didn't start till after 1500 BC, okay? Because you had we already had an exodus from Egypt, okay? And then Moses and Aaron, the brother, were the first Levitical order, right? So now this is 500-600 years earlier, and they're already talking about priests, okay? So let's go back. So who is this guy Melchizedek, okay? And he blessed him and blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek, okay? And you wouldn't give a tithe to someone who was, like, below you. You're giving a tithe to someone who's greater, okay? And just to touch on tithes, a tithes literally means a tenth, okay? So, you know, I wouldn't talk about tithes if I was going over a random scripture. That's not this type of church. If it becomes that one, then we'll probably deal with that when it happens, but it won't, thankfully, right? As long as we stick to the word of God. But if the Bible does talk about a tithe, it would be remiss to not mention what a tithe is. So a tithe is a tenth. It's Old Testament kind of way of giving. And we'll talk about a little bit more. In the New Testament, it could be maybe like the start of where you give, and then everything else can be considered an offering. And basically, you know, it's something that you want to kind of deal with God yourself. When you're talking about tithes, it's a personal thing. You know, it's not something you should be promoting. If you gave a lot, there's a good chance your name won't be in the back of one of our chairs in a plaque. Okay, we're not going to have one of those thermometers about our roof fund. I mean, we could use a new roof, but we will not be asking for that. God will provide. Okay, so but there is a place for it, and it's almost like to not talk about money and being a Christian would be to rob you of blessings, because God, he owns everything. He's in charge of everything. And when we give, it's our way of showing faith that we trust him with everything, right? So, you know, we should be giving proportionally. So the more that he gives us, we should be giving to him, right? And it's just a way to showing faith. Like, you could tell, I've been thinking about this because I've been doing laundry. You could tell a lot from someone's laundry, because I'm, like, looking at my shirts, and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of Christian shirts. And then I'm like, you could tell a lot from someone's bank account. So if, depending on where they're spending their money, their time, you could kind of tell where someone's heart is. So God wants all of us, like meaning all parts of us. So that's including money. It's not like, you know, that part's separate for me to do what I want to do. God wants all parts of our life. It's part of making him Lord of all. So anyway, Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. So I just think it's just, who is this mysterious character who's just mentioned, okay? Then, fast forward, now remember, let's look at the timeline again. David is speaking of Melchizedek, okay? Now, to get our, because we have to, you know, if you've been a Christian at a good church where you've been learning, some of this stuff just is like, yeah, whatever, right? But for some people, this could go way, like, over your head, because you hear the names. It's like David, Moses, Solomon, you know, this guy, that guy. You're like, where, like, what's going on? Like, where's the timeline at? So, just for reference, okay, David was the father of Solomon. So, if you see, Solomon was crowned in 971 BC, which is, you know, the math, over 1,000 years, okay, after Abram lived, okay? So, now, in a messianic psalm, which is important to note, a messianic psalm, he's saying that the Messiah is going to come from the order of Melchizedek, a priestly order of Melchizedek. But the priests, remember, to the Jews, they didn't come from the order of Melchizedek. They were coming from the order of Aaron, or the Levites. So how is it that the Messiah is going to come from the, you know, from the order of Melchizedek? So let's look at what the psalm says. A psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, that's where Jesus is, till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. This is speaking of future prophecy during Jesus' second coming. So there's a common belief in Judaism that there's kind of two messiahs. This is has come from oral traditions that rabbis have kind of just made up. This is not in the Bible. Where we believe, and the Bible teaches, that the Messiah is going to come twice. One as a lamb, and the next one will be as a lion. Okay? And this is the kind of the other part. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook of the, by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. So, for all the spiritual warfare going on, and the evil, and the demonic realm, and the openness that so many people are worshiping the devil today, you know, you'd be surprised how many people will openly do this and get into witchcraft and allow themselves to be involved in the, you know, fortune tellers and all the stuff that God has put to, you know, cursed. To know that in the future, you know, Jesus is going to deal with all of this. And it's not only that, it's also the subtle spirit of Babylon that kind of persists. If you, you know, Babylon was a place that they were very blessed. And it's something we should be on guard of. You know, not to get too political, but we don't follow a president. We follow Jesus, right? And we can't put all our trust and faith in a person, you know, regardless of what our bank account says. And whatever they want to do to help us, you know, ban abortions, great. You know, give us our religious freedom, awesome. But don't let, you know, we can't just totally just give up our faith into a person. And we have to test and make sure that there's fruits, because at the end of the day, we worship God and we worship Jesus, and there's a lot of evil. And think about, you know, the devil's going to come as an angel of light. So that person's going to, you know, pronounce world peace, right? I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I'm hoping, you know, that he does, you know, the things he says. But my point is that we can't get so much caught up on those things that we miss, you know, loving people and sharing the gospel and putting our trust in a person. Because, you know, even in our, like, let's say there's all this wealth that starts to come out of our country, you know, that's kind of talking about Babylon. Like, we're just going to have all this excess. And, you know, when, you know, some of us have been there, when you have a lot, it's very easy to be like, you know, all right, God, take a seat. And what did God get so angry about when they tried to build the Tower of Babel, right? Babylon, is that they try to get to heaven by their own means. They try to, you know, create joy and peace, and, you know, they're trying to be like the Most High God, just like the devil did at the beginning. So we just have to be on guard, and that's why we have to stick to the word. All right, with that being said, Hebrews 7, 1 to 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So, scholars and very respected pastors are in a crossroads of who Melchizedek is. Some say he's a Christophany, which is Christ, Jesus, appearing in the Old Testament. Okay, so this has happened a few times in the Old Testament where God has taken on the form of man and given messages, okay, which is a cool study in itself. Others say that he may just be, you know, foreshadowing and just a type. Okay, I'll let you decide what you think. However, he has no genealogy. Back then, they were big into genealogies. All right, genealogy is, you know, your mother was this person, your father was this person. Even today, you would be considered a Jew if you have a Jewish mother. Okay, like, and the way that they would know back then, like, there, because there was no, like, records, written records with file, and there was no cloud, that's for sure, right? There was none, you know, there's no cookies and all that. There's no way to look back at all these, at these records. So the way that you were able to maintain your rights, your land, your inheritance, was all through genealogy. So they took genealogy very important. However, this person had no genealogy, Melchizedek. He's a man of mystery, right? No beginning, no end. That's recorded, okay? So there's many similarities to Jesus. We could just say that. There's many similarities to Jesus. There's a shadow, right? A type. It's a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah. A priest, okay? We know priests today as, you know, people maybe in elaborate outfits. That we, you know, if you grew up Roman Catholic, you may have seen priests. There's also certain, you know, Christian, Lutheran faith that, you know, there's a certain order that they follow, okay? But a priest is someone who offers sacrifices and in general is busied with, like, sacred rites, okay? Referring to the priests that... The Jews had a whole line of priests, okay? Now, today, we're called priests. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're a priest, okay? Now, I got into the genealogy a little bit. I got into the timeline a little bit, so I'm hoping that can help us to kind of understand going forward. Now, consider how great this man was, okay? Now, speaking of Melchizedek, how great this man was, that to even the patriarch, meaning like the head guy, the head father of the faith, Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. Because now remember, you have to put your mindset in the mindset of the Jews. Abraham was a big deal. Father Abraham. He had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Okay? I was reminded because there's this like rap version on YouTube that we used to always play. Like that was our edgy Christian rap, the Father Abraham rap version. So, but this is this is someone that was like really respected. Okay, so if you say Father Abraham to the Jews, you're gonna get some respect. Now, he's making the point. This person even gave a tithe, meaning so they know that someone was greater than him. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, those were the typical priests that they were used to, that traditional order, okay, coming from Aaron, from the tribe of Levi, I'll talk about what the tribe of Levi is, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. So they were receiving tithes. Okay, but Abraham was giving tithes to someone else. And this is, you know, they were supposed to receive tithes according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. I'm not going to show you guys a picture of loins, right? But you can imagine that this is Levi jeans, okay? Genuine Levi jeans, right? This was what the order of the priest came through, okay? This is not, though, who Melchizedek came through. All right. And it's not through where Jesus came through, because what tribe did Jesus come from? The tribe of Judah. OK, the line of Judah. But he was genealogy not derived from the received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So we do not know if this was Jesus. Right. Melchizedek. The description of Melchizedek could be referring to his mysteriousness. The main point is that he was different, okay? He was different, just like Jesus. Jesus is different, okay? And it's a different priest, not a Levi, because Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, all right? Taking a picture here, taking a look. So to break it down, okay, you have Abraham. And you'll see his three wives, not recommended, all right? Now, they weren't even wives. These are women he had children with, okay? Hagar, he didn't want to wait, okay? He didn't want to wait for God's promise. At 75, he and Hagar had a child named Ishmael, okay? And Ishmael is someone who the Muslims think that they're from the line of Ishmael. They go Abraham, Ishmael, okay? Now, we know that our sins have consequences. Now, today, there are wars still between the Muslims and the Jews, okay? Guess who the father of them all is? Abraham, okay? He's the start of it, right? So to think that there's no consequences for our sins, that, you know, well, no, I'm not hurting anybody, I just made a mistake, and God will forgive me, and yes, he will, but to understand, there are still consequences, okay? There are still consequences. So Abraham had made a mistake, a big mistake, that's cost millions of lives, right? That causes wars. So Ishmael, out of him came the Ishmaelites, right? And then he had another BM, baby mama, Keturah, and that's where the Midianites came from, okay? Now, Abraham, and even God even recognizes it, okay? God recognizes that Abraham had one son. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, this was the son of promise. So, Abraham had his wife, Sarah, who was very patient, but also maybe didn't help in making a great decision, right? Because she kind of nudged him to get with Hagar. But Abraham, also, let's give him a break too, because they weren't led by the Holy Spirit. Back then, the Holy Spirit just came for a little bit and left. They weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit, okay? And that's part of the new covenant, the new promise, and we'll get into that in a little bit. So Abraham and Sarah had a child named Isaac, okay? Now, Isaac, he had a son named Jacob. Jacob, his name is Israel. And Israel had 12 sons, okay? And that's where we get the 12 tribes. Now, one of the 12 tribes, if you see to the here, is Levi, okay? Now, all the other tribes, they were going to get pieces of land, okay? And there's good pictures online where you could see all the land that they were going to inherit. And this is their land. Now, the Levites, though, they were different, because their inheritance was God. And all the priests had to come through the Levites. They were the ones that did all the sacrifices. They were intermediates between the people and God, okay? So that was their portion, was God, all right? So to give us understanding, okay, here's another picture of that, right? Jacob and he came from Leah, Reuben, and Simon, and Levi, okay? So these are all the tribes. This is the house of Jacob, okay? So Levi is where the traditional priest came from. And this is where we learn about that. Okay, it's in Leviticus, it's in Numbers. Okay, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Now again, put yourself back as being one of the Jews of the time. You want to go back to worshiping priests, or not worshiping them, but going back through the priestly order. Okay, you're trying to go back to this, but he's trying to, you know, the author's trying to get them. No, remember the new covenant. We're from a different priesthood. We're trying to go to a different priesthood. Melchizedek is where the priesthood we should be going through, and that's through the order of Judah, through the Messiah, Jesus. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting. So if you wanted to get to God, you had to go through the priest, or else what would happen? You would bear sin and die. So even these priests, they had to sacrifice for themselves first, because if they went into the presence of God with sin, they got wiped out. Okay, but the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Remember, their inheritance was God. So they didn't get the land, they got this stuff. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. So I'm hoping that we're all kind of on the same page now to get like the full picture. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay, so he's saying, you know, we really esteem these Levites because they're the ones that go and they make sacrifices to God, and we like really hold them high up, right? But those Levites, in a roundabout way, were kind of paying tithes to Melchizedek because they were in the loins of Abram, who paid the tithes to Melchizedek. Okay, so he's establishing there's something greater. There's something bigger. Okay, so these people, they had questions, they had doubts, they had an urge to go back to their traditions, okay? But it's answered in the Bible. Are there any doubts or any traditions that you're holding to yourself in your heart that may be holding you back from fully following Jesus, okay? And that's what the Bible and people that want to make disciples and good Bible teaching church, that's what they want to do. They want to help you with any doubts. You don't have to say, well, I can't believe I'm having doubts. This is so bad, right? No, have those doubts, right? Bring them to God. Bring them to the Word of God and test them. And then you could bring them out so that you could keep moving forward, or else you're always going to have that little something that's nagging. Yeah, but what about this? Okay. And, you know, maybe for you, it's a huge thing. And for many people that have been walking with Christ for a while, we had a bunch of things, right? Like, you know, this morning was one of them. My wife would always argue with Pastor Drew, but what about women, like teaching? And, you know, it was a big point of contention. But a lot of times, the things that keep us from following Christ is more of just our kind of vulnerability of being scared to give everything, because it's scary, right? But you know, whoever wants to hold on to his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ will gain it, right? And God has good things for you, and he's trying to draw you in with his love, right? He's drawing you in, and it's the Bible that will help you to increase your faith, to be like, you're not just stepping on, you know, on this like invisible ground. You're stepping on solid ground. You could be more sure of this than anything else, right? Like, we put our trust in so many things that have let us down, but God will never let you down, right? He'll never let you down. So Levi came from the bloodline of Abraham, and the Jews of this day were giving tithes to the Levites as described in Numbers, but Abraham was giving tithes to someone greater, looking forward to Jesus. Levites came from Abraham, so the point is made that in a roundabout way, they were even tithing to Melchizedek, right? These are types and shadows, right? So think about types and shadows. if you're a mother, a father, a grandparent, or even a child, right? Would you rather have a picture of someone, or would you rather have the real thing, right? The picture's nice. You could look at the picture, and you could see the picture and say, you know, wow, I really miss them. I remember this time, right? But if you have them, right, if you actually have them, that's so much better. And that's what we have in Jesus. Old Testament was types and shadows. So he's encouraging them, don't go back to the types and shadows. We have the real thing. We have him here. And I think we're gonna finish here. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it, the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not being called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity, that there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. So remember, these sacrifices, this law, they had a purpose, right? And it was good for covering, right? If you broke your arm, you go to the urgent care, you go to the emergency room, you go there and you say, can I get an x-ray? I want to see if I broke my arm. They'll give you an x-ray, all right? And they'll show you, yes, you broke your arm. But when you take your arm out of the x-ray, your arm isn't healed. It's still broken. That was the point of the law. It's just to show us that we needed sacrifices for our sins. The point of the law is just to show us that we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners, right? And I was watching something on YouTube. It was this cartoon. It was really good. It was about the early founding fathers and Christian faith martyrs and stuff, but in cartoon form. And it was following the life of John Wesley. And John Wesley, he always thought he was good with God because he grew up a Christian, right? So he thought he was good with God, or he grew up, believing in Jesus. But his brother calls him up and is like, I got saved. And he's like, saved from what? He's like, saved from hell because Jesus died for my sins. He's like, I know those scriptures. I don't need saving. I know that already. He's like, and then he's like, I've worked my hardest to live up to that. And I try to live my life doing that. And he's like, no, but that's the point, brother. You don't have to live your life up to some standard to achieve righteousness, because Jesus did it for you. And he just kept hearing that message. And then something clicked and he got saved, right? And he got saved. And then he goes to churches, right, like in this area, and he gets up in front of the crowds and he goes, you are all sinners. And they're like, oh, how dare you? And like, you just show, they did like a montage of him just getting thrown out. Like, if you ever watch Fresh Prince, just getting thrown out of every different church he went to. He just kept getting thrown out of each church because he was calling them sinners, right? It's like, are we being maintained by our own righteousness, or are we all sinners that need a savior in the form of Jesus? So next time we could continue, all right? But if anyone needs prayer after we close, and you like prayer for anything, whether it be you're having something coming up this week, you have questions, doubts, encouragement, all right? We'll be here and we'll be available to pray for you and minister to you in however you need. Okay, that's what we're here for. So don't feel like it's out of line or anything. We're here to help you and pray for you and support one another as the body of Christ. So let me close with prayer. So Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for today, and thank you for your scripture. Thank you for a better way through Jesus. We don't have to maintain our salvation, but you said on the cross, it is finished. And simply by having faith in you, God, you come in to live inside of us, and you promise a new beginning in you, God, a new fresh start. And you want to forgive us of all of our sins. You're drawing us in with your love, God. So help us to get closer to you. We thank you, God, for today. Please encourage us and help us to love others too, and share this awesome news that we have through you, Jesus. Thank you for today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.